80 The Biz, South Florida's only all-business station, welcomes you to Freed on Business. He grew up in South Florida, has been in business here since the early 90s, and has closed
billions and billions
of dollars in deals. He's seen it all. He always has an opinion, and he's always ready to share it. Informed, entertaining, and connected, he has his finger on the throbbing pulse of South Florida's business community. He's Jim Freed, exclusively on 880 The Biz. To talk to Jim and his guest, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, here's your host, Jim Freed.
All right. Thank you so much, Wanda. We've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about the changing market dynamics and the family office financing trends. We're also going to talk to my good friend Arden Carson with the CBRE Edge, the changing market dynamics and family office. Segments will be brought to you by Family Office Magazine and our good friend DJ Van Curen. Again, second half of the show will be the CBRE Edge with Arden Carson. So stick with us. Wanda, take it away. Very EDM of you today, Wanda. Is this in honor of
me?
Okay, that's fair enough. It's in honor of Wanda. That's fair enough. Hey, everybody, if you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. And remember that you got to check them out today. Our friends at Warren Henry, check them out Saturday at Supercar Saturday. Wanda, where are you going to be on Saturday?
I'm going to be there.
You're going to have Polo with you?
Of course.
Oh, so people can come out and see
He's driving.
I figured that. Well, hey, everybody, if you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry. Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. You heard Wanda and I talking about their store up at
Griffin.
Thank you. Griffin Road and State Road.
I don't know.
No, it's not State Road. It's Griffin and 75. And they're going to have Supercar Saturday out there. I'm going to say hey to Floyd and all my rest of my
people.
Friends. It's going to be a huge. It's huge. They have lots and lots of people. It's great. They also got their Audi store up in Gainesville. They've got their big store down in Key West that has all the name brands. All those stores have one thing in common. They all come with the Warren. I mean, they're all quality cars. They all come with the Warren Henry Advantage also. The Warren Henry Advantage is you get complimentary rent repair, key replacement for service, red cap service, and, of course, the personal assistance. You can call for anything, anytime for 4 years after you buy your car. My mom calls that person all the time. Drives them crazy. So join me, my wife, and my mom. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
Can you tell me what day it is?
It's Thursday.
Jim Freed.
It's not good.
It's not good.
And Wanda Miles.
What's not good?
Thursday is not good because
it's not Friday.
Friday. Close enough.
Close enough.
Close only counts in horse grenades.
Okay.
On that note, let's start the show.
On 880, The Biz.
One in four Americans between 12 and 55 tune into an average of three podcasts per week. There's never been a better time to start your own podcast and tap into this growing market. Podcasting amplifies your personality and your business.
Magic can happen when people hear your voice. Your listeners will feel closer to you and potentially develop greater trust. Podcasting is easier for consumers to consume. People can listen while they work, exercise, and while they drive. Make your business come alive. Top quality recordings and everything you need to get your show on the web. Check out all our packages and options online at 880thebiz.com.
Hey, everybody, you need some real estate capital? Give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me, it's all about you. That's right. If you call me and you need some creative financing, I can help you out. Just recently helped a person close a loan. Well, just over a one-week period. Give us a call. One person makes the decision. One person commits. We'll close in a week or less. So if you need to pull some money out of your house, maybe you're having a tough time closing. Maybe you've got some commercial real estate and you need to pull some cash out. Maybe you've just owned an asset, a property for a real long time. Your family business is on there and you'd like to sell it. I just helped the folks sell Wynwood Yard. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business.
To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, I want to thank our friend DJ Van Curen at the Family Office Real Estate Magazine for setting up this interview. We've got Joe Iacono and Kim Diamond. Joe is the Chief Executive Officer and Managing Partner at Crescent Capital Strategies. It's a premier full-service asset management firm. They specialize in commercial real estate debt origination and investment. Joe also serves as the firm's Chief Investment Officer. We've also got Kim Diamond on. She serves as the firm's Capital Strategies Head of Structuring and Credit. She does so with nearly 30 years of experience in the commercial real estate and structured finance industries. I still probably got Kim topped out, and I've known Joan for years. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. How is it up there? You guys are, where are you, in New York?
We are. Yeah. I'm sure it's not as warm as it is down there. No. We were experiencing spring weather, but it seems to have disappeared.
Well, I'm gonna point my hand up in that direction. I'm gonna send all this energy up you, and it'll start to be spring real soon, I promise.
All right. Great. We'll look forward to it.
All right, but the real estate market's hot. What are you guys seeing in the real estate market? I wanna first of all thank DJ for putting us all together, and let's kind of talk about it with like a spin towards family office and high net worth real estate investors. So what are you guys seeing as nuances in the capital structure that those folks are doing right now?
Well, I think, family offices obviously have always had a soft spot for real estate, predominantly real estate equity, and invested in various different forms, whether it's securities or actually in owning predominantly partnership interests or direct 100% interest in real assets. I think the change that we're seeing, given where the real estate markets are and the amount of price appreciation we've seen over the past 10 plus or minus years, is I think a lot of folks on the family office side are keenly looking at debt as opposed to necessarily equity as an alternative to continue to allocate their dollars in real estate, which is relatively stable asset class, depending on where you play in the capital stack.
It offers current income.
That's right. And the debt side offers current income, which a lot of the family offices love. That's kind of a trend we're seeing with family offices and why we think it's an appropriate investment for many of them.
Well, let's take a step back now. Let's take a 50,000-foot view of what the folks in New York are seeing as the real estate investment market in general and South Florida specifically. The folks down here feel like it's always red hot, and it's red hot everywhere else. Is it red hot here? Is it red hot everywhere else? What are you guys seeing?
I think we've seen a significant upswing in values over the last decade, so I think we're clearly long in the cycle. But fundamentals remain pretty strong. One of the things we have to take into consideration generally is that there are secular and societal changes that are having impact on real estate, some positive, some negative. For example, people like me do a lot of internet shopping, so bricks and mortar retail is suffering as a result, especially if you saw my credit card bills. But there are other property types that are benefiting from some of these changes as well.
Yeah,
that's right. And by the way, we call Kim Imelda here because she's constantly shopping for shoes online.
Oh, come on. I'm sure nothing has a red sole in her. You know, none of that stuff. Red soles. None of those.
Yeah.
So Joe, then let's take another step back. Let's talk a little bit about your firm. You know, what are the product types you guys specialize in? What are you offering borrowers? What are you offering lenders? How do you play in the space? And I got to ask if you guys have some family offices that invest in some of your deals too. That's a whole lot to unpack. But Joe, why don't you take a shot at that, and then we'll let Kim play cleanup on it.
She'll probably
I'm always playing cleanup.
That's what credit does.
That's so true. Well, we are predominantly a first mortgage lender, and we try to provide capital through debt for all the major food groups in real estate. Typically, we're playing somewhere around 75%, 80% loan to value. For projects, the loan to cost somewhere in that same range, 75%, will go a little higher, for example, on multifamily. We are typically a floating rate lender, so we see a lot of and invest a lot in transitional assets that are being repositioned for whatever reason, whether it's a leasing play, a CapEx play, a combination, or maybe a total adaptive reuse. And providing financing to allow investors and entrepreneurs to effectuate their business plan and then be able to pay us off. We also do some selectively construction lending across the food groups as well. And our footprint really is nationwide, but predominantly in and around the major markets, and probably around is probably more appropriate because our size, generally our sweet spot is loan amounts anywhere from $5 to $40 million. And so that's going to put us in and around the CBDs, and in some cases, depending on the CBD, in the CBDs as well. And we like markets that have multiple demand generators. We love the demographic situation, for example, that happens in Florida and specifically South Florida with so many people, thousands of people moving there daily. So that, those are great trajectories for us to underwrite into, and we like that dynamic for sure.
You know, I think some of the things that are important also to mention, Joe, are that as a private capital provider, one of the things, or probably one of the most important things we offer, is predictability of outcome. You know, we're nimble, we're not handcuffed by a lot of bureaucratic limitations as an organization. You have the principals who are making the decisions. We're able to be nimble, quick, decisive. We service our own loans, and so you don't end up as a borrower in the black hole of trying to get some servicer somewhere to respond to your needs on an ongoing basis. You know, we're pretty much with you from cradle to grave.
Oh boy, you just nailed all the CMBS and all the legacy deals from the last cycle right in the eye, didn't you there? Well played on you guys.
Well, that's part of what we're here for.
Well played.
That's probably, you know, we spent a lot of years working in the CMBS market, so we're very well aware of the challenges that it's presented and the borrower dissatisfaction.
Oh, thank God. So you're actually my lender of I would prefer to do a deal with you guys. Tell me a little bit about who your preferred lender would, I mean, preferred borrower would be, maybe your preferred, if you do a JV, who would that be? Describe your type of operator that you're seeking, and what's the channel that that operator typically reaches you through?
Okay. Typical, these are middle market borrowers for the most part. So experience level, these are entrepreneurs and investors in their, and experts in their sub-markets, wherever that may be. And because they're entrepreneurial and they're not the big fund institutional, they're, you know, capital is important to them. Leverage is more important to them because capital is finite. And so that's pretty typical, but they're all generally reasonably to well-experienced sponsors.
Sometimes it's, you know, in a particular property type. We're not seeing players that necessarily have experience across a broad spectrum of properties, but they're very well versed in the specific asset class that they play in.
I could never tell who credit is on this phone call. Absolutely never.
You know, Joe and I have been working together for decades, and obviously we started out on the opposite side of the trades, right? I was always the rating agency person that told him no. The good news is now we're working together and we still talk. The bad news is I'm still telling them no.
Yeah,
that's good for the investor. That's good for the investor. And actually, I think it's good for your borrower, too, because it keeps your borrower from getting in trouble. Sometimes you got to say no to the borrower or they are going to get out on the head of their skis. Let me ask you guys something. I know we didn't talk about Chris. Thanks again to Chris, by the way, for setting all this up. Can you guys hang around and do another segment for me?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Awesome. Stick with us. Chris again, Chris Santorelli. Thank you so much for putting this together. Again, thanks to DJ Van Curen and Real Estate Family Office Magazine. We're here with Joe and Kim, and I want to thank them so much. They're principals at Crescent. They're a real estate lender, investor out of New York, and we're going to come back and talk about how high net worth investors and family offices see the real estate market, deploy their capital in the market with our two experts from New York. Stick with us. Thanks again for sticking it out, Joe and Kim. We'll be right back with more. In the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts stopping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. Picked it, I nailed it. It was Dolly Parton, I knew it. I knew it was Dolly Parton. Hey, they don't work 9 to 5 at Warren Henry. They burn the midnight oil for you. And they'll be out there at Supercar Saturday with me and Wanda and Polo. We're going to have a great time this Saturday from 10 to 1 out at the Lamborghini Broward store out at I-75 and Griffith Road. I got it right that time, Wanda. All right. Hey, everybody. When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. Of course, up in Gainesville, they've got Audi. Down in Key West, they've got them all. What do the cars have in common? Well, they're all exceptional cars. They all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant. You can call for anything anytime for 4 years. So join me, my mom, and that's right, my beautiful wife, Vivian. Hey, honey, I'm on my way home soon. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price. Always the best service. Always Warren Henry.
Jim Fried and Wanda Miles.
Here's to you, Mr. Putting Green Hole Cutter at the Masters. You're the guy who moves the holes on the green from one place to another and then fill the old hole like it was never there. You keep each hole from being worn down by constant use and make the game more exciting, if that's even possible. So thank you, Mr. Putting Green Hole Cutter at the Masters, giving credit where little is given. You're our unsung hero of the day.
On 880, The Biz.
That guy is just amazing. Where do you find this stuff, Wanda?
Oh, you know, it takes time, but I am patient and it comes to me.
You're tremendous. You're absolutely tremendous. So are my clients at Sandstorm Realty Advisors. I love working with my clients. I seek value system alignment with them. We see things the same way. We go out and we execute. I get them. They call me up. They go, Jim, I want to buy that. I help them buy it. They go, Jim, I'd like to finance that. I help them finance it. Maybe they're realtors. They need to get financing for their clients. Their clients need a $4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million loan for the condo they just bought or want to buy. I can help with that too. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Fried on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Fried.
All right, Wanda, thank you so much for giving us a little doff of the hat to the Masters. I'll be watching on Saturday and Sunday. I'm not so crazy to watch on Thursday and Friday, but I'll watch on Saturday and Sunday. It's a lot of fun. It's very relaxing.
Is that the last day?
Last day's Sunday. Hopefully the guy with the red shirt's playing. Then you won't be able to get near a TV in any sports bar in America.
Okay.
You got that right. Hey, I want to thank Joy Okono and Kim Diamond for sticking with us. They're principals at Crescent Real Estate Finance. I want to thank Chris for putting us together. And, of course, I want to thank DJ Van Curen and the Real Estate Family Office Real Estate Magazine for putting all this together. Welcome back, Joe and Kim. We're getting all kinds of good feedback on Facebook Live, so let's keep the good stuff coming, gang. Now, let's see. Oh, yeah. Well, look, I know you guys. I got credit. It was nice. I've got credit. I've got the natural tension between credit and origination. We're talking about real estate. You know what? Let's talk about alternative property types. I'm financing some memory care facilities. We're doing construction loans, bridge loans, permanent loans, memory care. It's freestanding. Now, that's an unusual property type. What unusual property types do you guys do? Alternatives, things that are out of the ordinary.
I think we see things like your memory care properties. We see a lot of creative office. Self-storage is pretty hot right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, self-storage is almost mainstream these days with as much as has been built around the country. But at one point in time, that was considered to be off the run.
100%. Now it's a hot mainstream property type. It's got REITs, it's got buyers, it's got everybody. What do you see as a property type on the horizon that's not getting much play, but you have an interest in financing? Because maybe we have somebody listening that's building one.
How about that?
I got some good questions.
I think this on the retail side, I think we're seeing some innovation there as it relates to experiential retail.
Ooh,
and people are really trying to approach that from a different angle. Retail is not dead. It just needs to position.
It just needs to be repositioned.
It needs to be repositioned differently. Kim, what about you? Any other property types you see?
I don't know. There's nothing that really comes to mind.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you that retail is not dead, that it's just reemerging. We've got our second half of the show is Arden Carson with the CBRE local office, and she's got their national retail thought leader on, and we talk about that. I'm not going to say what their answer is, but you guys are on it. It's changing. It's not dead. It's just changing. There's new ideas, new things, new retailers, new concepts, and as Kim knows, new places to buy on Amazon.
You got it.
Had to give it to you, Kim. Had to give it to you. Had to give it to you.
You got it.
Now, Joe, if you were going to describe your perfect borrower, what would that borrower look like?
I think reasonable experience in their field, whatever that expertise is in product type and market. A borrower for us that's in need of leverage that exceeds bank leverage, which is, frankly, most of the borrowers in our space.
And the reason why we exist
and the reason
to
why
a large degree.
That's right.
Well, you solve problems. That's what you do. You guys solve problems. That's why you exist.
That's right. Looking for structure, so someone that needs a lender that's creative that can help structure around any particular issues or difficulties surrounding his business plan.
Yeah, I think it's helpful when the borrower is realistic, too, with their expectations. Usually we get the first request, which is the Hail Mary.
Yeah.
And then after we talk through things a little bit, we get the more reasonable request, whether it's leverage or pricing or term or lockout, whatever it is.
You guys are going to love. Oh, I love your stuff. We're going to have a phone call after this. Chris gets a high five for what he's about to originate for you guys. There you go. Well done, Wanda. Well done, Wanda.
We don't have to cut him in on anything, do we?
Well, doesn't he get paid a flat fee? Hey there. When we're talking about somebody's fee, we're already doing a deal. Let's go on. Okay,
exactly.
So let's talk a little bit about how the market's changed. What have you noticed between now and the quote-unquote Great Recession? What's changed in underwriting and origination? Since I got you both, I'm going to ask you both the same question. Talk about origination,
all right,
Joe, and then Kim, what's changed in underwriting?
All right, perfect. I think the biggest change from downturn is the proliferation of private capital. So firms like us, unfortunately, we're not the only firm out there that approaches the business in a similar respect. And that was very different pre-downturn. Pre-downturn, pre-global recession, the banks' traditional financial sources dominated the market. And providing reasonable leverage all the way up, call it 80%, pretty regularly. Post-recession, that's changed. And so hence, firms like ourselves come in and can provide that gap effectively, which is the financing that's needed above where the traditional banks would stop out. So today, banks are traditionally lending somewhere between 50 and 60% LTV on assets. And borrowers are in need, entrepreneurs are in need of more leverage so they can attain their yields and also to do more transactions, frankly, because capital is finite. And so we lean into the transactions if we like them appropriately. And then Kim keeps me on my toes and makes sure I don't lean in too much.
I keep them honest.
Yeah, well, we all need somebody keeping us honest. But let me ask you this. We got a lot of letters and acronyms floating around out there today. What are CRE CLOs and why are they gaining prominence?
CRE CLOs are sort of like the friendlier version of CMBS.
Hmm.
Yeah, I would say, actually, I would take a different tact on that. I would say CMBS and CLO are just are forms of securitizing, so basically distributing portions of our capital stack. But CLOs are very different from the perspective that these assets are, it's a financing vehicle. So if I'm a lender and I originate loans, I can either hold those loans on my balance sheet unlevered, if that yield is meets my investors' expectations, or I can go to a bank and say, listen, I have this great portfolio of loans. Will you lend me money against my loans, which will enhance my yield if I do it appropriately for my investors, and also allow me to do more transactions, right? So CLO is just another form of that leverage. In this case, instead of going to a bank, I'm issuing bonds in the public markets and selling those bonds, and effectively that's creating leverage. But the big difference between CMBS and CLO is it really is truly a financing. I'm holding a large chunk of the equity underlying that financing, and a very thick piece, and I'm servicing the loans, and these are loans that are not being sold. So again, it's just simply a way that I finance my balance sheet. Because of the nature of CLO versus CMBS, I have a lot of flexibility with my borrowers in being able to restructure transactions if need be, being able to extend if need be, being able to accommodate leasing and other issues that happen at the property during the life of the loan. Whereas in CMBS, it's very restrictive in terms of what the servicer, who you're now dealing with in CMBS land, typically a third-party servicer that had nothing to do with the origination of your loan, whereas in CLO, you're dealing with us, who originated your loan, and there's much more flexibility in terms of being able to restructure and accommodate, similar to what a bank would typically do with their borrower.
I mean, Kim, you agree? Yeah, vehicles offer a significant amount of flexibility relative to enabling us to offer future funding and fund future funding commitments. You know, we can take loans in and out of the vehicle. So from a borrower's perspective, it's the non-securitization form of securitization, pretty much.
Yep.
Wow, that's absolutely terrific. It seems like that's the modern-day alternative to the CMBS, and you addressed all the CMBS stuff we were hitting on earlier and shaming the CMBS market with. So it sounds like...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Sounds like this is the creative way to go.
From the borrowers. Yep.
We've only got like about a minute left. Why don't you guys tell folks in the audience how they can find you, and maybe we can get you back on the show again some other time to talk some more.
Sure. Well, we're available by email. We have actually info@crescentcap.com, info@crescentcap.com. We're certainly available by phone, 212-882-1224, 212-882-1224, I think those are the two predominant ways you can find us.
Well, that's pretty cool. I want to thank Chris Santorelli. I hope I pronounced that right, Chris. I want to thank DJ Van Curen and the Family Office Real Estate Magazine for bringing you on. Joe, I want to thank you so much for being here. Kim, I want to thank you so much. I want to remind you to keep Joe in line, and please try to keep the stress on your credit cards to a limit, a certain limit.
I'll do my best.
Well, I don't know how that's possible. Up at the Big Apple,
knowing
about Amazon. Well, Joe's got to keep an eye on it. I think that's what it is. Joe, you just got to pay her more.
That's exactly
right. I'll tell you what. I'll keep an eye on him, and he can keep an eye on me.
That's what partners are for. And with that, I'm going to wrap up. And again, I'm going to thank everybody for being on the show. We're going to have Arden Carson of the CBRE Edge on after this. We're going to talk about new trends in retail, just like Kim was talking about the evolution of retail, how they're looking to finance people that are evolving. Now we're going to hear about how it's evolving for both the developer, the practitioner, and the consumer. There's something for everybody coming up after this. Again, thanks to Joe and Kim, DJ and Chris, for this last half of the show. Joe, Kim, looking forward to doing deals.
Us too. Thank you, Jim. Thank you, Wanda. Bye-bye.
I'm too sexy for my love. Too sexy for my love. Love's going to leave me.
Wanda.
For my shirts.
Yes, Jim.
You're playing my theme song.
I know. It's been a while.
Now, thank you so much. I'm just getting into it. Hey, all right. Can't wait to see you and Fluffy out at Warren Henry's Supercar Saturday.
I love that drive up there.
It's a great event,
and it's such
too.
A good time.
It's a great event. Kids, families, big supercars. It's awesome. Hey, when you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar. They got the supercar store for Lamborghini Broward up at Griffith Road and 75. And they've got an Audi store in Gainesville. I love that place. And they got their store in Key West. Wanda, me, you, and Fluffy got to take
We've
a trip down there.
We've
got to go. Got to go down there. They're all great cars. They all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me, my wife, and my mom. That's right. My mom, my wife, and I, we're all members of the Warren Henry family, and you should be too. Always the best price, always the best service, always Warren Henry. Play that song, Wanda.
I'm too sexy for my hat. Too sexy for my hat. What you think about that? I'm a model, you know what I mean. And I do my little turn on the catwalk.
Jim Freeze. Put seatbelts on your ears. And Wanda Miles.
Why?
Because I'm going to take them for the ride of their lives.
On 880, The Biz.
It's time to stop the hate and spread some love. You are beautiful. You're smart. You are awesome. And you never have to change for anybody. You have the voice and you have the power. We are so much stronger when we come together. It's your choice, so choose to be inspired. Choose to be accepting, be strong, be brave, be awesome, be daring, be kind. Choose kindness.
It's true.
It is true. It is true. That's why I seek value system alignment with everybody. That's why you got to call me at 305-773-6300. If you want to work with somebody who thinks like you, who's looking out for you, you give me a call. Maybe you need some creative capital. Maybe you have some family real estate issue that needs to be solved. I just recently sold a big family asset for a friend of mine. Their family owned Wynwood Yard. I sold Wynwood Yard. If you like to party there, sorry, better hurry and get there. But my client's going to develop a beautiful project there. So give me a call at 305-773-6300 if you think I can help you. That's right. Why do you give me a call at 305-773-6300? Because when you call me,
it's all about you and the home.
880.
Oh, the brave.
The Biz. You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, welcome back. Thank you so much, Wanda. We're here with Arden Carson. She's the market chairperson for CBRE. She has this great title. She's a senior managing director for CBRE here in South Florida with her Milena Cordero. She's CBRE's global head of research. She's here. We're going to share thoughts on all kinds of great stuff. Milena is featured throughout the media and is one of CBRE's most visible professionals. She travels all over the world researching and speaking on retail trends. One of her recommenders said, Milena is hands down the brightest person I've worked with. I'll say it again. Wow, I can guarantee she's more than a 100-watt light bulb. Welcome to the show, Milena.
Thank you. More than a 100-watt light bulb. That's not bad.
You're pretty good. You went to Yale. I got it. I got it going here because Arden went to Harvard. So you guys got to leave me be because I just went to Florida. Arden, welcome back to the show. I know you got a whole bunch of questions for Milena, so let's get started.
Hi, Jim. Well, we're excited to be here again on CBRE's featured episode called The Edge. And we're so happy today to have Milena Cordero. She's one of my favorite people at CBRE. So, Milena, welcome to Miami. You're back. I understand you lived in Miami for a little while at one point in your professional career.
I did. Thank you. I lasted 1 year in Southeast. It's about as much as I could take. But no, I love Miami. I love South Florida. And it's great to be back, especially when it's nice and warm like this.
Well, great. Tell us a little bit about your background, your educational background. Jim alluded to Yale. I know you also have a graduate degree as well. So let us know. Where did you get your start?
Well, I had a bit of a circuitous path to where I am now, which people always laugh at, but I started off as a French major in my undergrad at Yale. And then once I thought I had French under my belt, I said, well, I want to go abroad and I want to study urban planning. So then I went over to Europe and I spent 2 years doing graduate work in urban planning and international development. And within that, I actually hopped on a plane and went down to Brazil for almost 2 months and I studied shopping malls in Brazil.
Oh, that's great. You know, I was wondering, which is, you know, I know Gazeta's down there. Have you taken a look at some of their malls? What was a favorite thing you learned on your trips out there?
So my favorite thing I learned, and I spent about 4 weeks every day going to a mall called Morumbi. And this mall was fascinating. I learned so much because the malls down there are not just shopping destinations. They are destinations. I mean, people go there. It's cultural symbols. It's for dating. It's for walking. It represents a safe space in a city that sometimes, you know, has its security issues. But it was amazing the role that the mall plays in that culture and that society, and really, really different than what it is here.
And are you bringing that to your work at CBRE, some of the knowledge that you learned there, maybe changing some of the trends that we have here in the U.S.?
Absolutely. I think research, you get this idea that it's about looking at data points and reading articles and doing everything from a distance. So there's a big part of research and understanding, I think, any industry that involves being on the ground. And still to this day, when I'm in a mall, I've got my research hat on and I'm walking around and I'm watching people and I'm listening to what they say and I'm looking at what they're doing and how they're shopping on their phones versus carrying bags. So that sort of research hat on, you know, fortunately and unfortunately, is always on, even as a consumer.
I could totally relate to that. I'm staying at a condo while they're repairing our house and all I do is watch the people and how they interact with all the common areas. Arden.
Okay. So, Melina, tell us about your current role at CBRE. You are the global head of retail research. How did you get there? And what led you to work in research?
So, it's a great question, and you never really know how you get to places, but what I do is I go around the world essentially talking about what's happening in retail and educating the marketplace and educating myself and my colleagues on what's happening in retail today and what's happening in the future. And again, how I got here is sort of a fun little adventure, but after graduate work, I worked very briefly in market research, so understanding consumer goods and consumer spending. And then I worked about 3 or 4 years at a startup, at a tech startup. And at that tech startup, we were at the time at the cutting edge of mass mobile data. So using cell phone data to understand how people are moving through malls and how their interaction with malls is changing as e-commerce grew. And so that data at the time, which was very new and novel and bizarre for a lot of people, is now today commonplace standard. You know, you need mass mobile data to understand your shoppers. So from there, I hopped over to CBRE in this role, which is newly created and really part of, I think, the company's investment and belief in retail. So they created a role where they wanted someone to come in and be a thought leader and work with our brokers, our colleagues, our advisors, but then also our clients to understand and forecast the future of retail.
So you talk about mass mobile data. That's a product that we sell all the time. Give us a real-world example of how somebody would use mass mobile data to make decisions.
Absolutely. I think my favorite example is trade areas. That sounds really boring. But back in the day, you're a mall owner, you're a shopping center owner, and you want to understand who your customers are. You draw 3 rings around the center on a map and you say, you know, 1 mile, 3 mile, 5 mile. And you say, this is my primary, my secondary, my tertiary area. Here are my customers. And you use that to get in retailers, to understand how you're doing, et cetera. That is the old school way of doing it. And today, you can use the mass mobile data to understand actually exactly who is coming to the center, not guessing based on rings that you draw on a map, but really understanding based on cell phone signals and movement, where your customers are coming from, where are you missing customers, what are their demographics, what are their psychographic profiles. So there's a lot more information, it's a lot more accurate about who our customers are that we get from the mass mobile data.
Wow, that sounds really invasive. So are people really tracking where I'm going? How do we get comfortable with what appears to be a violation of privacy?
Yes and no. So it's fascinating because people immediately think, oh, privacy issues. The amount of information that we willingly and sometimes unknowingly give up on the internet just in using search engines or having an email account is incredible. And so we're in this information age where we're giving over information about our behaviors and our shopping, and we get something out of it. You get tailored ads, you get tailored offers, things like that. What's interesting about the mass mobile data is the privacy measures are very much in place. So the data can measure my cell phone. So it may say, okay, this cell phone was here, here, and here today, but it doesn't know my cell phone number. It doesn't know my name. It doesn't know my gender, but it will make assumptions about me based on my behavior. So there's a layer of privacy that's built in, but I think generally in this information age, almost all of our information is sort of out there, and but it can also be used for good.
So one of the goals of The Edge is really to help the listeners think about opportunities in the business world. So can you talk a little bit about mentors, people who have influenced who you are, and what is your professional philosophy?
Absolutely. I've had some great mentors along the way, and I think one of my first and most longstanding mentor was when I worked in a startup, and she was my boss, we call it that, and she was brilliant. She is brilliant. And she had this background in strategy consulting. That's what really formed a lot of the way that I think and approach questions, challenges, et cetera. But the thing that she taught me, which sticks with me to this day and I hope will always stick with me, is to ask questions. So I think a lot of times we can be nervous or scared to ask questions because we think we're supposed to know everything or we think it may come across as stupid. But she taught me that asking questions is probably the smartest thing you can do. And asking questions is how you learn. Asking questions is how you become an expert. So that's my sort of professional mantra that's come from her is asking questions and never being afraid to say, I want to understand this better.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. When I was actually starting in the business world, I was in a bank training program, and there were 25 of us, and we were competitively ranked, and one of the ranking criteria was actually the quality of the questions that we asked. So we would have all types of mock presentations, companies coming in, and it was a big ranking tool. So I agree that's an important takeaway. So your expertise is retail, although clearly you're brilliant to know a lot about a lot of different things. Tell us a little bit about your thinking. You know, what are the hot topics today in retail, the big trends?
Well, there's so many in retail. I could go on and on. I think the number one thing everyone's asking about in retail is e-commerce, right? It's this idea of the apocalypse, as I call it, around e-commerce is just going to take over brick and mortar. And a lot of the headlines sort of support that thinking, that there's this myth in the industry that brick and mortar is on its way out, dying. And that's my favorite one to talk about because it's just not true. And what's happening is a really big evolution in how retailers are retailing, how we are shopping as consumers. And it's not about e-commerce taking over brick and mortar. It's really about brick and mortar evolving to meet new styles and modes of shopping.
You know, those are great things and, you know, to talk about. And if you could join us for one more segment after this, I'd really hope that we could go into maybe more about the impact that all these trends have on the consumer as well as the real estate practitioner. Can you stick with us and do one more segment?
I sure can.
All right. Well, listen, Wanda, take it away. We'll be right back with more from the CBRE thought leaders on the CBRE Edge back after this.
Hey, everybody. When you're looking to buy or lease a car, you want to get every advantage that you can. That's why you have to check out Warren Henry, Land Rover, Range Rover, Infiniti, and Jaguar up in Gainesville. They've got Audi. Down in Key West, they've got them all. And this Saturday, they're having the third anniversary Supercar Saturday. Wanda and I will be out there. Come meet us at the corner of Griffith Road and I-75 between 10 and 1 p.m. So we'll be out there. It'll be a great time. That's right. What do all the cars have in common? Well, they're all great cars, and they all come with the Warren Henry Advantage. That means complimentary dent repair, key replacement, first service, red cap service, and a personal assistant that you can call for anything, anytime for 4 years. So join me, my mom, and my beautiful wife, Vivian. We're all members of the Warren Henry family. You should be, too. Always the best price, always the best service, always. Born Henry.
Jim Freed and Wanda Miles.
Welcome back to the Masters on CBS. Some will land in a bunker, which others call the sand trap, while others call it the kitty litter, sandbox, being at the beach, landing on the moon. We just call it the Masters.
On 880, The Biz.
All right. Hey, if you need real estate capital, give me a call at 305-773-6300. Creative Solutions, I got them. Give me a call at 305-773-6300. When you call me, one person answers the phone. That person makes a commitment. We can close in a week. That's right. So give me a call at 305-773-6300. Why? Because when you call me,
it's all about you.
You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
All right, we're back, and we're back with my good friend, Senior Managing Director of CBRE in South Florida, Arden Carson. We're here with the CBRE Edge. We always like to bring some of CBRE's most valuable executives, and today we have one of the best. We have Melina Cordero. She's CBRE's Commercial Global Head of Retail Research. She's a smart lady. She went to Yale. Won't hold that against her. Arden went to Harvard. Definitely won't hold that against her. It's Gators all the way here. So we're going back now, Melina. You've told us a bunch of the trends that have been going on, but really, what's the impact to today's shopper about the evolution of retail today?
Well, for the shopper, it's huge implications. Our expectations are totally different than they were 5 or 10 years ago. We are high maintenance shoppers with high expectations around what retailers should be able to give to us, when, how quickly we can get things. So.
Oh, you just described my wife. Honey, you listening to this? You're not alone.
You're not alone. And it's everyone. And it's not just women. It's guys, too, and what we expect.
I'm like it. I'm exactly. Amazon box.
There you go. So our expectations have put enormous pressure on retailers and then shopping center owners in turn, right, to cater to us, to cater to what we want. And one of the interesting things is that the barriers to entry in the retail world are much lower than they were before. So anybody, any of us can open up a shop online tomorrow. So as consumers, we have millions of options, millions of choices, and we're looking for retailers to give us the reason why we should stick with them.
So really, it's all about branding then. Arden, I know you got some really good questions.
Retail's one of my favorite topics. So, Melina, is e-commerce taking over the world?
No. No, it's not. It's not even taking over brick and mortar. And I always put the question, and I say, as usually, I always say, actually, I would argue that brick and mortar is taking over e-commerce. We know that online sales are about 10% of overall retail today, and everyone thinks that that means that brick and mortar is dead. But over 50% of online sales are the online sales of brick and mortar brands. And I think that that proportion is going to grow and grow as brick and mortar brands invest in online and develop the capabilities there. So no, it's not taking over. And I think brick and mortar has the capacity to take over online.
So what are some of the shifts in consumer and spending behavior? Everyone talks about entertainment retail. Is that truly a thing?
Yes and no. I'd say there are two major shifts happening. One is that the categories that we're spending in have shifted. So 10, 15 years ago, it was all about apparel and department stores and shoes. And today, it's about restaurants, grocery, health and beauty, home improvement. We have shifted where we put our money. And two, the second major shift is the price points that we spend in. So I talk a lot about this thing called the barbell effect, which happened since the recession, where we trend away from the mid-range of goods towards the lower end and the higher end. So I use the example of a white t-shirt. We don't really want to go and spend $20 on a white t-shirt anymore when we can go and spend $10 at a TJ Maxx or a Ross or an H&M, or we can go upmarket and go to a more expensive branded high-quality item that we're willing to pay money for. But the days of the $20 t-shirt are sort of over. So those are the two main ways that the way that we're shifting or spending has shifted.
Thank you. So I recently heard a presentation that you made, and you talked about Millennial Ben and Baby Boomer Benjamin. Describe them so our listeners can get a sense of who they are.
Absolutely. So Millennial Ben and Boomer Benjamin are my sort of stereotypes of the two generations. And out in the media, out even amongst friends, we all have these big assumptions about what millennials are like and what baby boomers are like. Baby boomers don't know how to use cell phones, and millennials don't spend any money. And millennials are the worst, according to all the headlines. But it's really not true, and there's so many misconceptions out there. Boomers are spending more than millennials are because they have more. Baby boomers are just as digitally engaged as a lot of the younger cohorts. And millennials are spending money, but they're spending money in different ways. And I think the important distinctions to make between the boomers and the millennials is they're both very, very important spending groups. Very, very important. And retailers need to think about and focus on both, but understand that they spend differently. Their behaviors are different and their life stages are different. And how they spend over the next 10 years is going to shift pretty dramatically.
I wanted to kind of shift the discussion a little bit, since I've got two people here that have broken the proverbial glass ceiling at one of the big national companies. CBRE is the biggest real estate services company in the world, and you two sit on top of some of their very important silos. What are some of the lessons that women in the workplace can take away from your successes? What are some of the, we talked about mentorship being very important, but what are some of the other habits that you've been able to form that allow you to be successful in the business world? We'll start here. We'll start with Arden.
Well, I think Melina talked about asking questions. It's just so important to just keep asking questions and make sure that your voice is heard. Well, a bad question is repeating a question when you've already just heard the answer. So, I think that's the best. Well, no, then absolutely. So there are no bad questions. Absolutely. But I just think it's all about just always challenging yourself. That's what I've always done. I've always put myself in situations and continue to evolve within my business career and within the industry. So, Melina, what about you?
Well, I completely agree with everything you said. And I think the thing that I would add to it that I've felt and I've learned in this industry is that it's okay to be different, and actually it's an asset. And, you know, Arden and I are two women in an industry that's been traditionally male-dominated. Oftentimes when I walk into a room, I'm with clients or with colleagues, sometimes I'm the only woman in the room, and sometimes I'm the youngest person in the room. And if you walk in thinking that being different is bad or a disadvantage, you're starting off on the wrong foot. And what I've found, you know, so far definitely at CBRE and certainly with a client base is a big openness to, if you can walk into a room and add value and you can do it differently than other people, people are receptive and they're open, and it's a huge advantage. So that's what I've found so far. And my mantra is, it's okay to be different.
Well, that's amazing. That's the Gen Z-ing of our society happening right there, being transparent and honest. That's so amazing and so wonderful. We only have a couple of minutes left. I want to turn it back to you, Arden, to help us wrap up this Edge segment, unless you want to do more.
Well, we will be doing more, but I know this segment is coming to a conclusion. So a couple of quick questions for you, Melina. You can just give, you do a lot of public speaking. You travel all over the globe. Everyone's scared of public speaking. Give us a couple quick tips and so we can let our audience know.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I will never in my mind consider it public speaking. I try and consider everything, every presentation, no matter how big, no matter how small, a conversation. And number one, I think, and I put my hat on, what does my audience want? What are they thinking? What are they worried about? So know your audience and always treat it like a conversation. The second that you step on a stage, or in my mind, the second you step on a stage or in front of a group and say, I'm gonna perform or I'm going to present, you lose the engagement with the people that you're trying to speak to. And so I love making eye contact, asking questions, and engaging in that way, that no matter how big the room is or how small, I'm there to have a conversation.
So, Arden, we're wrapping up. Why don't you tell our audience just a little bit more about what CBRE offers here in the marketplace before we wrap up? I think it's something important because CBRE continues to evolve. We're here today at your market office here in Brickell Avenue, which is a spectacular place. Tell us a little bit about the difference that you guys offer the professionals on your team.
Well, CBRE is the largest real estate services firm in the world, as we talked about. We're a global company, but here in South Florida, we have something that's very special and very unique. So we pride ourselves on offering local expertise with our global platform. Think about real estate. Anything real estate, CBRE is a service provider, and we can help all of our clients and all of our prospects with anything that's real estate related.
All right. Well, I want to thank everybody from CBRE. I want to thank our folks that Joy Akona and Kim Diamond that spoke to us up at the beginning of the show. I want to thank you, Wanda. Thank you so much, Wanda.
Thank you, Jim.
I want to thank all of our listeners. Without you, I wouldn't have a show. Thank you to Warren Henry Automotive as our sponsor, Carlson Integrated, of course, CBRE and The Edge, the Bergstrom Center for Real Estate Studies, and of course, you, our listeners. Go to our Facebook page and like our show. Please tell your friends. Join our community. Give us feedback and comments. Tell us who you want to hear from. Oh, I forgot to thank DJ Van Curen and the Family Office Real Estate Magazine. All right. You can tweet at me, Jim Fried, Fried on Business, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, website, freedombusiness.com. If you missed today's show, it'll be up on our webpage, freedombusiness.com. Thanks to Carlson Integrated ASAP. This is Jim Fried for Fried on Business. Look for us on 8:00 a.m. next Thursday at 6. Why? Because I just love doing this. And Wanda, we're going to talk about doggy dating.
Oh, yes, doggy dates.
There you go. Remember, the person that wants to do something finds a way. The other finds an excuse. Now go out there and make it happen.
You got 30 seconds. You better get in there.
Not yet.
Oh, Jim Fried.
Are you ready?
Don't make me do this.
And Wanda Miles.
Come on. Who's got the best talk show?
We do. We do.
All right. Don't stay.
Another traffic report is just minutes away.